From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, a very good morning to you. I hope you have your Bible open before you at John chapter 12. Verses 20 to 26 will occupy us today, and our subject is entitled, Two Instructive Pictures. Before we turn to a hymn of praise, may I quickly remind you of our program this evening at 9 o'clock. We will be continuing our study of the man who was so near and yet so far. It's based on John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Do join me then at 9 o'clock this evening. Now here is the SMS singers with My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on my brow. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and say when the death do lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou.
Turning to John chapter 12 and the verses 20 to 26. And in these verses we have two very instructive pictures. I have often said that the Bible is a picture book. A book of pictures painted not by oils or watercolors, but by words. We have two very helpful and instructive pictures before us in these verses. The first picture is of the beginnings of the Gentile harvest. Some Greeks approached one of the disciples, Philip, with the wonderful request, Sir, we would see Jesus. Verse 21. The Saviour has power to draw all manner of men to himself, and that from far away. These men showed more interest in the Saviour than did the leaders of the Jews, to whom their Messiah had specifically come with God's salvation. These Greeks were the first signs of an ingathering from the Gentile nations, which would soon begin when the Saviour was rejected by his own people, and in mercy he turned to the heathen nations of the world. There is a clear illustration of this turning of Christ to the Gentiles, which followed his rejection by the Jewish nation, in the incident recorded in Acts chapter 18, when Paul visited the Greek city of Corinth. Paul, as all the apostles were commanded, began to preach the gospel to the Jews first. We read in verses 4 to 6, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." These Greeks of whom we read in John chapter 12, the verses 20 to 21, desired to see the one the Jewish leaders were anxious to destroy. They were the first of the Gentile harvest. Every Christian of Gentile stock listening to this broadcast is part of the harvest that these Greeks were but the first fruits. The second picture we have here is of the principle that is central to the death of Christ on the cross and to the whole of the kingdom of God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 24. Here is an explanation of the necessity of Christ's death at the cross. Every springtime, we see this principle followed. We cannot have a harvest without a sowing, and the death of the seed in the ground as a result of that sowing. The dying of the seed is the price of a full harvest in the fields in the autumn time. The seed that dies is resurrected in abundance in the ripe grain of harvest. That is why Jesus had to die. It was in order that from his death would spring up life. Isaiah the prophet put the matter like this: "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Christ died in order that his elect should be redeemed from death. He died as the sin-bearer of his people. His death was the ransom paid for the setting free of them from the curse and condemnation of the law of God, which they had broken by their many sins. Every redeemed soul in heaven is there because Jesus bore the pains of eternal hell for them. He died that they may live. His was the planting and the dying. Ours is the harvest fullness. Again, here is an explanation of the central principle of Christianity. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. verses 25 and 26. There is not a farmer who believes that it is wiser to hold on to his seed grain and not scatter it on his ploughed fields. He knows that though his sowing of the seed will result in it dying and corrupting in the earth, it is but an investment that will pay him well. At the harvest time, the seed sown will come back to him many, many times over. Though this is but a simple truth, it is one that many find impossible to translate into the spiritual realm. What the Saviour is saying is stated clearly for us in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. He that would be saved must be ready to give up life itself, if necessary, in order to obtain salvation. He must bury his love of the world with its riches, honours, pleasures, and rewards, with a full belief that in so doing he will reap a better harvest, both here and hereafter. He who loves the life that now is, so much that he cannot deny himself anything for the sake of his soul, will find at length that he has lost everything. The one, on the contrary, who is ready to cast away everything most dear to him in this life, if it stands in the way of a soul, and to crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts, will find at length that he is no loser. In a word, his losses will prove nothing in comparison to his gains. There can be no life without death. There can be no crown without a cross. Without Christ's death, there would have been no life for the world. Unless we are willing to die to sin and crucify all that is most dear to flesh and blood, we cannot expect any benefit from Christ's death. Let us remember these things, and Christian, take up your cross daily. Let us, for the joy set before us, endure the cross and despise the shame, and in the end we shall sit down with our Master at God's right hand. The way of self-crucifixion and sanctification may seem foolishness and wasteful to the world, just as burying good seed seems wasteful to the child and to the fool. But there never lived a man who did not find that by sowing to the Spirit, he reaped life everlasting. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts. Please join me tonight at 9 o'clock. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.